today on Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely.
Here's an example. If you make $100 million a year, I know that's extreme. If you make $100 million a year, but the way you're making that money, you're actually contributing to the stumbling of people. It's better to give that up. It's better to give that job up than to continue to do that and make that money. Why? Because there's a judgment coming. If you allow your flesh to be consumed by the desires of this world, the pursuits of this world, you are putting your soul at risk.
Deeper and deeper,
deeper and deeper,
deeper and deeper,
I want to know you more.
The things we have on this earth, possessions, relationships, even our own bodies are temporary. But your soul and the souls of those around you will follow you into eternity. Join us today as we discover God's desire for the protection of our souls through purity and seeking Him through the pursuit of holiness. Now, make sure and stay with us after Pastor Troy's message. I want to share our contact information as well as how you can receive a free copy of this broadcast. Now, here's Pastor Troy in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18, verse 6, with his continuing study entitled, The Attitude of Great Holiness.
You know, church, some look to the church to be the salvation of kids. I wonder why I took my kids to church, but they walked away. And the reason is because the 1 hour that they're at church a week is not enough. They're looking at the home life, the habits, the attitudes, what's important in the home. And that weighs more than the 1 hour in church. Sure, big major things can happen. They can be inspired, influenced. One day after hitting rock bottom, they may look back at that teacher in the church who loved them. They say, I need to get to church. And it can be a moment that inspires, but to influence the course of that child's life, that's in the home. That's on the parents. You can't bring them in once a week or even twice a week and expect that there's going to be a big difference. They may like it. They may love it. They socialize with other kids. It's a controlled environment. They do learn the Bible. They learn about the love of God. We want to make sure we're not just babysitting kids. We want to make sure we're instructing them at their level, the Word of God, because it alone is the hope of a future. The parents are the number one influencers, and yet the parents are passing on things that stumble kids, stumble their own kids. How about the school system? You talk about an influencer. If your children are in the public school system at all, they're out of your hands most of the day too. And they're in the public school system where they learn things like evolution as fact. Even though it's the theory of evolution, it's taught as if it's fact. Creation? We don't talk about that. That's not a view of how the world came about. That's religion. So we can't include that. And so they teach them evolution as if it's fact. More than that, and this goes beyond when I grew up in school, they're bringing into the school the idea of alternative lifestyles. Now, they didn't do that when I was a kid. It wasn't their job to teach me morally. It was their job to teach me reading, writing, arithmetic. School. Not to raise me. Or to teach me the morals of life. And yet today we have a school system that feels it's their job to do that. And they're bringing it in. They're teaching about alternative lifestyles. They're teaching sex education to the kids. And let me tell you, abstinence is not on the agenda. They don't think abstinence is even a possibility. Though they can't. And the reason they don't think the children can abstain is because they put us in a category like we're animals. That's what evolution teaches us. So we're training them up like they're animals, and we expect them to act any different than that when they grow up. This is the influence that's going into our children now. They're being raised like animals, and we can't expect anything less. You know, Charles Spurgeon, he was around when this idea of evolution first started taking off. And Charles Spurgeon, when he heard about the evolutionary theory, he said, this is so unbelievable. This is such nonsense that it's going to come and go within 20 years. It'll be so disproved. Guess what? It's never been proven, but it hasn't gone away. They're still trying to find the proof, but they're not giving up on it because they don't want the alternative. It's about moving away from moral authority, from the Lord, and becoming God in your own eyes. It's the sin of the fall. You can be like God, knowing good and evil. And so we're trying to do that. Speaking of being like God, another great influence in the world is government. The government has a strong influence. They decide what gets on television. They decide the messages that are come through. They determine the filtering. You know, the media, we think we're informed. But I can tell you something. We're very blessed here. But they can also control what you're thinking about, what you think should be consuming your conversations also, because they can control the media. And in nations where we don't have the system of checks and balances like we currently do, and I say currently do, media is very manipulative. The government lets out what they want, and you hear what they want. And you wonder why certain people hate Americans or hate others. It's because that's what they're getting fed. And so we've got to be very careful because the government is able to influence. Any nation that would discourage or prevent children from having faith in Jesus Christ is robbing that child of the only real hope in the world and the only thing that is really true. The tendency of human government, corrupt human government, is to cause the people to depend on them, is to line their pocketbooks. I'm not talking about our government. I'm talking about the tendency of corrupt government governing. It's to line their pocketbooks, to build their power, to build their authority, and cause the people to depend upon them. You know, we have a great government that has checks and balances. That has been a blessing for us to have these checks and balances. It's even been tested. But where those things aren't, you see that governments have a tendency to slide towards socialism and a dependence upon the government. We take care of you. And the problem with that is the people begin to depend on the government and not on the Lord. It's as if they steal the people from God, and God hates it. How about the entertainment world? You want to talk about having influence, being influential, having a responsibility? There was a time when they all understood that. In fact, they still do. They say it, but they don't live it. There was a time when baseball players and others understood, hey, the kids are watching me. Eyes are upon us, and we don't want to stumble. But there were always those that would push the edge and bring in cool, and this is edgy, and ooh, the ladies liked it, and oh, the guys thought this was cool, and oh, it makes money. And so the entertainment industry gave way to money and has since gone far, far, far away. As the scripture says, you can't have a love for money and stay close to the Lord. You're going to serve one or the other. And the entertainment industry has gone the direction of serving the money. And so we have Hollywood that jumps in and says, we want to make some Bible movies. Man, there's an audience for that. We can make some little bit, but it's money. And so they make these Bible movies, epic movies that are far from accurate and totally miss the meaning that was intended in the scriptures so that you can't even tell what the message was. So now this guy sees, man, someone dying on the cross is just so inspiring. And so I want to do a movie about that, this guy, and it's kind of, actually it's kind of sexy, and I want to bring that into the movie. You know. And so they bring this movie with this slant to try to portray this angle, totally missing everything that it's about. But it's a Bible movie. It's a Bible movie. Hollywood's doing Bible movies. And you go and you watch one, and you go, I didn't read any of that in the Bible. And you go back and you check it out and you're like, I don't know where they got any of that. I mean, there was, well, I don't want to know. Well, okay, there was water. There was a boat. But other than that, I have no clue where they got all this other stuff. Money. Commercials are risque. Why? They sell the product. Who wants to sit there for a boring commercial? I'm going to go grab me a hot dog or something like that. Take a bathroom break. But if the girls are half dressed, well, I can wait for the bathroom. I need that beer. They know what sells. They don't care who it stumbles. Athletes are into themselves and their image. There was a day when there was a professionalism, even in sports. They made a touchdown, they handed the ball to the referee, they went back. Coaches wouldn't stand for that stuff. One of the first celebrations was kind of like a, that's it, walk away, you know? And even then, it was like, oh, he's kind of out there. But now, oh my goodness, if they saw some of the stuff that they're doing now, they're marketing, basically, themselves. It's all about me. And kids are watching this. They're buying their products, and they want to be like them, and so they need at least five. I mean, I'm not surprised that games aren't an extra hour, just adding celebration to each touchdown or home run, you know, and just so you can celebrate it. Oh, it's just good, clean fun. You know, it is fun to celebrate, but get off the camera. Go celebrate. Don't do it for a public audience. Go celebrate and make this a team event, not all about you. But kids are learning to make it about them. Primetime shows the glorifying of relationships, situations, and lifestyles that directly oppose the values of God. And that's what makes for primetime. Now, you can't expect anything less. It won't make primetime. In fact, it won't make regular TV anymore. We've got special channels, you know, channel 1267 for that. But not for the prime channels. You want that channel, you need to pay another quarter, and you know, we'll fly it in for you. Children's shows mock parents, make them look dumb. And it glorifies the rebellious attitude of children as if it's heroic. I don't know if you've watched a children's program, but that's exactly how they are. Parents are doofuses. Dad doesn't know what he's doing. Mom's the stabilizing force. But the kids, they really know what's going on. And their rebellion is actually the right thing to do. They're the hero as a result. That's children's programming. That's what's going into them. That's the mindset. You grow up a little bit and you got the teens, the tweens and the teens. And their shows will portray teen relationships as if they are on the same level as adult relationships. I don't know if you've noticed that. But how important it is now, that boyfriend and that girlfriend and that kiss. Wow, it's not for marriage. That's for real love. I mean, when you're 16, that's real love. So we have a generation today that's confused, and they have absolutely no clue what purity is, what holiness looks like, and they're very far out of calibration. We could say it the way the Bible says it. They're lost. They need a light. They need the light of the world. They need those who will stand up and be salt and light in this world and stop just blending in and being okay with any and everything. So this is the current of the fallen world. Because of sin, bad things happen, but woe to those who partake in the stumbling of others, especially the children who are watching them. And why participate in these kinds of things? Why be a stumbler? Just to be cool or famous? Just to be rich? To hold on to that money? Show me the money. In fact, in football, I know this is a new end zone celebration. Or you get a sack or something, and you stand up. Must be a contract year for that guy. Show me the money. They say it's about respect, but it's about money. Just to be entertained. You'll put up with this just to be entertained. You'll allow this in. You'll allow this stumbling just to be entertained. In Matthew 16, Jesus said, "What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his soul?" In fact, Jesus says something very similar right here in verse 8 as we read it. If your hand or foot causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into life lame or maimed rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into the everlasting fire. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out, cast it from you. It is better for you to enter life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire. Take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I say to you, that in heaven, their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. But the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. Not to indulge, not to enjoy, to save that which is lost. That's the mission. He says, don't despise one of these little ones. What he means is don't overlook them. You've got a responsibility to them. The right hand, the right eye, the right foot in Judaism were always a picture of one's best. Giving the best. That is my strength. In other words, he's saying, if it costs you the best of what you have, it's better to give that up than to stumble yourself or to stumble others. Here's an example. If you make $100 million a year, I know that's extreme. If you make $100 million a year, but the way you're making that money, you're actually contributing to the stumbling of people, it's better to give that up. It's better to give that job up than to continue to do that and make that money. Why? Because there's a judgment coming. If you allow your flesh to be consumed by the desires of this world, the pursuits of this world, you are putting your soul at risk for being consumed in eternity, and you're putting the souls of those who look to you and follow you at risk. I guess Jesus didn't really read the polls, at least today's polls, about people not believing in hell, because he spoke about it as if it was just a matter of fact. You ought to know this. He didn't try to defend it. He didn't try to explain it or give the theology of it. He just said it like it is. Hey, it's better to do this than go to hell. I don't believe in hell. That's not the point. You're going there. It's better to do this than to go to hell. See, hell is the whole idea of salvation. We like to say, he wants to save you from your sins. I like my sins. I don't want to be saved from them. I like them. I want to embrace my sins. No, no. Really, he wants to save you from hell. Your sins are leading you to hell. And so salvation, saving, is to save you from hell. Because that's where you're going, because it does exist, whether you believe it or not. And so, he says, look, I want you, adults, those of you who would be considered great in the kingdom of heaven, I want you concerned about the well-being of the children, their health, their purity. Verse 10 is where they get the idea of guardian angels. For I say to you that in heaven, there, it's possessive, their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 13 through 14 also sort of add to that idea. But to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who will inherit salvation? So we have this idea of ministering spirits and guardian angels. And Jesus is saying, I'm not going to get into the theology of guardian angels. It seems that we have some that may be assigned to us, watching out for us. We know that only one third fell. So if the one third are going after us, there are two thirds that did not fall. So it's 2-1. So we've got some good company. So don't always blame Satan or the demons for causing you to stumble. You have a choice in the matter. But the point isn't that there are angels. The point is, Jesus is saying, look, these kids, they have angels assigned to them. And if you cause them to stumble and you think you've tricked them and no one else has seen it, listen, their angels are standing right in the presence of God, probably telling on you. God's all-knowing anyway, but you will always be found out. It's a threat. You're being watched. Don't stumble, kids. Before we close, let me just say, parents, this is a serious message today. I don't know any other way to talk about holiness than to be very direct and very serious. Also, I had a lot of notes, so I couldn't interject a lot. I had to keep moving for the sake of time. But let me close with a few things. First, parents, protect your children. It's your responsibility. Protect them with all of your heart and ability as unto the Lord. Is there anything more important to you than pouring into them, preparing them to follow the Lord, protecting them? Guard their hearts. Guard their hearts. Protect them. Protect their purity. Think about that one for a moment. Protect their innocence. guard it, fight for it. We went to a family's home one time. This particular family was a Christian, not the family's home that we went to, but one of the families that was there. And we just let our kids play with some of the others right there on the grounds. And they drifted away and went away for a time. And when I went to search for them, I caught them before it happened. But one of the kids whose parents said they were Christians had given him a phone where he had the internet. It was very slow. It was way out there kind of in the country. So the signal was very slow, and I don't think he got the signal. But they were trying to look up something that was very inappropriate. And the kids were gathered around. Look, we live in a time where we cannot take some of the risks that we used to in order to guard our children's purity and their innocence. This is very important to God. Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Give your kids the best chance to see God, that they would have a pure heart, because they're growing up in a world that makes it so hard to see Him and so hard to remain pure. We went to take pictures just recently, and we went in, and the lady was asking about our kids. She said, "Oh, wow, they all look the same age, man. They all just look like..." I said, "Well, Joshua's 12, you know," and gave the ages, and she goes, "12. She goes, "Man, my daughter does not look near that innocent." At 12, I thought, my goodness, that's a shame. There may have been a day when I was in the world when I would have looked at a child that looked innocent, I would have thought, they're naive. They need to know about the world. You know, I've learned that's not true. They learn enough about the world every single day watching you and taking in everything that just comes into their life. They don't need to be taught about the world. They need to be taught about purity and holiness and be given the best opportunity to see God for who He is. It's a look that the world seems to not understand and maybe even make fun of. Purity, innocence. They call it uncool, but I will tell you, to God, it's very cool. To God, it's what He said that gets to see me. And I want you to consider Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. It says, "Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord." Holiness. So the attitude of the great in the kingdom, a humble attitude, as we learned last week, becoming like a child, caring about a child, being simple, not seeking great things, even being willing to receive a child. And also a holy attitude. A concern for personal holiness, not a holier-than-thou attitude, but a concern for personal holiness in your life, knowing that others are watching, being someone who cares about that. A willingness to get rid of whatever it takes in order to avoid being considered a stumbling block. How do you develop these attitudes? Are you just born with them? No. You're born in the world. You're born again to them. But how do we develop them? Well, first, I just gave one of them. You have to be born again. You have to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God, because these are not natural. They go against the current of the world. So you have to be born again, filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Then there is that portion of Scripture which we went over about a month ago. Deny yourself. Deny you. But I like these things. But I want these things. And I want to see these things implemented and passed down. Well, what does God say about them? Deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow Jesus. Let me ask you a question. Do you care about holiness at all? Do you care about not stumbling others and being a good example? Do you care about that? Because that's the attitude of those who would be considered great in the kingdom of heaven.
Deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper, deeper, and deeper. I want to know you more.
In this day and age in which we live, it's easy to get distracted by everything that's going on around us. The hustle and bustle of life tends to keep us from the things that are truly important as followers of Christ. While there's simply no substitute for the personal reading of God's Word, programs like Building on the Solid Rock are a huge blessing that God uses in the discipleship of countless people. Building on the Solid Rock is the radio ministry of Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel Solid Rock in San Antonio, Texas. For more information about our ministry or to access the archive of messages, log on to our website at www.buildingonthesolidrock.com. You can subscribe to our podcast while you're there or search for us in the iTunes store. Use Calvary Chapel Solid Rock as you search. It's absolutely free. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Thank you for joining us. We invite you to join us again next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through the Gospel of Matthew. That's next time on Building on the Solid Rock.
And I look up and see the hand that I turned from when the storm began, and it covers me.